Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Janice Tunnell, your host for Beauty Talk. Welcome to the show today. We are excited, and I'm not going to prolong introducing our guest much longer, but I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise so that she can greet you in her own way. Can't hear you. I'm so sorry. I forgot to take myself off of mute. But good afternoon, and we hope you all are ready for an exciting show with our guest today. If you want to call into the show, please dial 914-803-4399 here in the U.S. If you're dialing from another country, dial your exit code, then the number 1-914-803-4399, and we will turn it over to Janice so that she can play a message from one of our sponsors.
Has your face felt dry and tight, or does it hold oils like a sponge? If the answer is yes, what you need is a facial. That's right, and not just any facial, but a FaceTox Organic Facial. Listen, the FaceTox Organic Blend, it's free of parabens, it's vegan, and mixed with 100% organic rose water. And this water binds your face and works right away as it slowly begins to dry. You see, when the organic rose is mixed with the FaceTox Blend, it creates a negative charge and will prevent and even draw out your blackheads, reduce the appearance of scars, even skin tone, draw out external toxins, heal and rejuvenate skin tissue, and it will even unclog and shrink your pores.
FaceTox is probably the most powerful face mask you will ever use because the benefits to your skin are endless.
Listeners of our show can receive a 20% discount by simply using the discount code BEAUTY20. FaceTox organic face masks are perfect for all skin types. So what are you waiting for? Order yours right now at FaceTox.com. Your skin will thank you.
All right, and we are back, and we are excited as ever. Our guest today is a giant in the beauty industry whose career spans over three decades, and we want to welcome to the show Ms. Erica Freemantle. Hi, Erica. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. Ladies, first and foremost, and to your listeners, I'd like to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year as well.
We're so excited to have you on. It's an honor. And it's a great pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much. The feeling's mutual.
Thank you. Let's just jump right into the conversation because I have so much I want to talk about. Who is Erica Freemantle?
You know, sometimes I have to stop and wonder myself. But I am the proud daughter of Ashman and Sarah Freemantle. My parents have been in the UK for almost 60 years. They came over from Jamaica on a five-year promise. They thought that they would be in the UK for five years and then go back to the Caribbean. And as I said, 60 years later, they're still here. I have five brothers. I'm the only girl, so I'm absolutely terribly spoiled. I know how to defend myself, and I know how to survive. You know, as you quite rightly said when you introduced me, I've been in the industry for over 30 years. It's nearer 35 years. And there was a time that I feel very embarrassed and a little bit ashamed to say how long I've been in the industry. But like anything else, as time goes by, you get, you know, you embrace yourself, you get to know yourself. And I'm really, really proud to be what we call a veteran in the makeup and beauty industry. So that's a little bit
who
Erica is. I like who I am. I like what I've become. And more importantly, I like where I'm going.
And that's the show right there.
That's right.
That's right. You know, that's where we try to get people. So that's great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So when did you develop an interest in the beauty industry?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I've been in the industry for, as I said, nearly 35 years. I actually started off as a model. I was doing modeling a very long time ago, just doing it for the sake of doing it, having a laugh, not thinking that I would go in anywhere. But unfortunately for me, I was involved in a major car accident, and that accident left me with no hair, over 250 scars to my face, and a near amputation to my left leg. In fact, we were told that I'd never walk again. That bit I could handle, and obviously I've overcome that, but it was the fear of looking at my face after it had been bandaged and seeing what was left. And the reason why we know it was 250 scars, because they took out 250 pieces of glass out of my face. And apparently when this car hit me in the petrol station, my body went into shock. And my hair, or the majority of my hair, fell out there and then. It was full frontal impact. And, you know, it was said, people were saying that I had died. So how I got into the beauty industry was really by accident, a literal accident. Many, many, many years ago, there was no makeup available, especially in the UK, for women of my skin tone, women of my complexion. And I ended up finding and using mud in the garden, or should I say earth, and I mixed it with water because I remembered something at school. When we were at school, they spoke about the Egyptians and mud, and there was nothing to camouflage my awful scars. And that's what I did. I mixed earth with a bit of water, put that on my face, and that was my first experience of what I call corrective makeup and foundation. It was self-taught, self-survival. I looked awful. I looked absolutely awful, but I looked even. And my face, I couldn't smile because, as we know, it turned to clay and it cracked. But that was my saving grace. So that's how I got involved in the industry, because of an accident.
Now, Erica, I kind of got a little tickled there when you said I looked awful, but I was even. I mean, isn't that most women's goal nowadays, just to be even complexion?
I think it's always been every woman's desire and dream. But, yes, even now, it's still a problem, you know, if you see it as a problem. Because
right.
I think beauty is about being internal and accepting yourself for who and what we are. Because even doesn't mean beautiful. And these are the things that I learned, you know, over the years. But because of the scarring, because of the disfigurement, I felt even more ugly because I was bullied at school when I was told I was ugly as a child. And I was told that I would never amount to anything in life. And as a child, when you hear these things, it becomes part of your self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes the way you see yourself. So when I had this accident, for me, it was confirmation that I was truly ugly. So, yeah, that's how I got involved.
Ooh, that's a lot. I feel like, I mean, I know, you know, you say it was accident, you know, but I feel like what led you there was divinely ordered, and there was a reason for it. You know, and I think the reason I think the reason has a lot to do with these almost 35 years of your career and what you bring, you know, and maybe had it not been for the results of that accident, you know, your career path could have totally been totally different.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
What can you take from that accident? Share with us, if you will, something that you may have taken from that accident that kind of leads you to where you are today. Is it something? Is it one thing that you've taken and it kind of it's kind of been the tone of your message in beauty?
Yeah, one of the things, there are several things from that accident to this day, but I would say the main thing, and it's a cliche, is never give up, never, ever give up, and don't let other people, plan out your life or tell you who you are and what you should become, because by rights, if I had listened to everything that had been said to me, and I'm sure other people can relate to what I'm about to say, but if you listened to what people tell you, you wouldn't move. You'd become a hermit. And I really don't think if I had that accident and I dealt with it the way that I did, I know for a fact that I wouldn't be the woman, the very proud woman that I am today. So never give up.
Never give up. That's so important. So, so important. And let me just say to those of you who are listening by way of the phone lines, if you have a question or a comment throughout today's conversation, please just press the option to speak with the host, and that way we'll be notified that you want to say something. And for those of you who are listening online, if you have a comment or a question, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and press the option to speak with the host. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about current day, where you are in beauty today.
I love that
what's
question.
What's your current role?
where am I today? Sometimes I get so confused. No, I'm in a very, very... very profound, a very privileged position in the industry. Now, having been in the industry for so long, there are so many things that I have seen, so many trends come and go. I happen to be at the right place at the right time because of my accident. So many years ago, I did the makeup for an up-and-coming model at that particular time. It was for a record company. She was in the video. And the record company love what I did because of my own personal experience. Now, we're talking about in the London, UK, where there were hardly any makeup parties. There was myself, there was Pat McGrath, and there were a few other makeup artists, but many I know that are no longer pursuing makeup artistry. And I was asked to do the makeup for this young lady, and Island Records saw what I did, and they fell in love with me as an individual. And I was booked to do makeup for many up-and-coming artists back in the day, including Seal. Seal was one of, he wasn't actually known as Seal then. He was known as, he was in a group called Adamski. So moving forward now, what that has done for me in the makeup industry, I no longer do makeup artistry in the conventional way that I know a lot of my peers still do, but I'm very much an educator and a trainer. I also do product development. I'm very much a mentor. I'm a spokesperson. But first and foremost, I am a businesswoman because, as we all know, our makeup artistry is very creative, and a lot of us get caught up in the creative world, and we tend to not look at the business. And I'm renowned in the industry as the business of makeup. I'm very strict. I'm very firm. I'm very thorough when it comes to business. So for me, I am the businesswoman that knows the business of makeup.
Well, let's start bit. Let's start right there.
Okay.
Why do you think some artists out here get caught up in just doing the art and not paying attention to business? And how important is it for those artists to know business?
Yes, yeah, that's a very good question. I get asked that question regularly. The reason why a lot of artists get caught up in it, because it is a creative, you know, you think creative is about expression of art, but when we tend to go to, or should I, let me talk about myself and what I teach and the students that come to me. What I find is that many people get caught up in the art, in the creative side of the industry, and they don't really see themselves as a brand. And if you're a brand, you're supposed to know about business. But knowing about business to some people doesn't come naturally. I come from a very business-orientated family. So for us, it was always business came first, and then you can, with business, you can create anything, you know, once you haven't got those business skills. So what we tend to do with our training and our education is educate our attendees about becoming business tycoons. A lot of people think that if you think too big, it can be arrogant, but you have to put yourself out there. The industry is becoming so creative. I have traveled the world in what I do, and I've seen many of people that don't know the basic thing about makeup artistry or about hygiene, but they're making phenomenal amounts of money in the industry because they're business-minded. And, yes, you can be a creative and you can still enjoy what you do, and you don't necessarily have to be a business-minded person, but you build a team, you have people around you that are business-orientated, or you align yourself to other people that are doing well in business. Because people think that the makeup industry has exploded. My advice to the industry is it's just begun. It has just begun. It has just begun. People are feeling their way through, and only those that are business-orientated will make it through. These are trends that I have seen for many, many years. I have never seen it evolve the way that it has now. But you have to be a business-minded person or have business-minded people around you to enable to take your brand, your concept, and your thoughts to the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do we teach artists, or how do we get the message out that, you know, they need to do this?
Yeah, you know, I am a teacher, I am a trainer, and as I said, I'm very much business orientated. And what I've done, or what we're about to do ourselves, is launch a training program to educate creatives, especially makeup artists, how to become business women and men, business people, business entrepreneur people in the industry. I can't speak for anyone else, but I know that it's something that I'm very passionate about, as much as makeup artistry, even more so, to educate my peers how to become business tycoons and icons. And it's not just about knowing that one and one makes two. Yes, we'll always be aware of that. But it's knowing about the law, knowing about to protect yourself, knowing how to put out an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. There are so many things that as business people we should really be looking at first, because we've got the skills as a makeup artist. You know, those skills can't be taken away from us. We can evolve and we can always learn more, but it's time to become business people in the space. So the Erica Freemantle brand, that is something that we're about to offer. We're about to launch online. It's a program where we, you know, help people in the industry to become business people.
And when you go out and you speak, you know, at different beauty events, and you speak about being business minded, artists being business minded and being business people, what's the response? What are people saying?
Usually what happens, because a lot of the shows that I do globally, we're about to do one in London now at the Excel Centre Professional Beauty, and I've been with Professional Beauty for about 8 years, and there's another one called the Olympia Beauty Show, two of the biggest shows in Europe, and I'm in partnership with them, have been. But what I tend to find is that a lot of people have this safety mechanism, so they come from one or two different backgrounds. So they may be working in a salon and they want to branch out, or they've been freelancers for many, many years and they want to now upscale, you know, upscale their skills and their services within the industry. The response is usually overwhelming. I mentor for there was a point I had 100 mentees in which I mentor and educate people about business. But it's usually very welcoming, very excitable, and people are ready for change. And I find that, you know, the older people in the industry want that change too, and so do the younger. So there's no age limit. There is no age limit.
Right.
But it's usually received, people are overwhelmed because they feel it's too much that they can take on. But we let them know that it's something that they can do and that they have to do.
Right. Absolutely. When you mentioned the older people, this thought just came to my mind, because I know how like some of the older artists, you know, they don't want to be on social media. Some of them,
That's
you know,
correct.
Have presence at all. Just quickly, let me know, what are your thoughts about social media in general and how it benefits the artist?
Okay, yes. I'm really glad that you're asking this older lady about social media. I was one of these older ladies that sat back and watched social media evolve. You see, for me, I come from a different mindset, and my mindset has always been business to business. That's how I've acquired a hell of a lot of my relationships, and I've always won my contracts by sitting and looking at people in the eye because of my reputation, who I am. And a lot of the people that I've evolved and I've grown within the industry have pulled me up with them, and vice versa. So I've never had to worry. I'm one of these creators in the industry that's never had to worry about where the next job's coming from, because I'm very much in the background. As I said, I don't really do the artistry as such. However, mm-hmm. what I have found with social media, and please don't get me wrong, because there's a lot of talented people out there, whether they are qualified professionals, semi-professionals, or just amateurs. But what I'm finding is that there are a lot of people that are confident in different areas. So the younger generation to myself, you know, people between the ages of 20 and 35, they've grabbed social media. They understand it, and they put a lot of work out there. But what I say to people that are in the industry, if you are not social media savvy, you will and can be left behind.
Yes.
Because it is the space. It is where it is. I mean, Donald Trump used social media to get to where he is. So
yes.
If you do not use social media, even if you should align yourself with others that are doing it, learn and understand social media. Even myself, I don't have that many followers, but I am aligned to other people that have huge following. Even if you do it that way, you take baby steps to get to understand what social media is. But I believe in the next 2 to 5 years, if you're really not on social media, you will be left behind. And you don't have to be, because all the tools are out there for us all to learn. And we can take really small, short steps to understand social media.
That's
Absolutely. So true.
Talk to us about your Erica's Beauty Journey, your book.
Okay. Yes, so I put together my ebook, and it's very, very simple. Now, I have sat on the board for London College of Fashion for many, many years. I'm an educator. I do so many things within the industry that are technical. I'm a presenter. As I said, I'm a product developer. But what tends to happen, because I'm such an integral part of the industry, I tend to forget to address the ordinary woman. We all have our needs. We all know in the industry the power of makeup, how it can make or break a person's life. So what I decided to do was just put some general tips together aimed at women, regardless of where you are in your life, hopefully to empower you. And starting off very, very basic, there's going to be a series of different books coming up very soon. But I just want the ordinary woman, she doesn't have to be an artist, to feel empowered, to love the skin she's in, and just embrace herself. And that alone can be a very hard journey. So, yeah, that's the journal. That's what it's about.
That's cool. So for the first person who calls into the show, can we give away the link to your book?
You may. You have it there.
All right. Perfect.
Yes, you may.
Perfect.
All right. So that's 914-803-4399 for the first one to call into the show and is not afraid to speak.
Call in with a question. Call in with a question,
yes,
or comment. Not just for the book.
I don't mind even if it's just for the book.
And don't forget to press the option to speak with the host so that we know you're on the line. So it's been over 35 years. Has your focus just been the UK? I mean, I know that you're global, but have you spent a lot of time in anywhere else besides the UK with your work?
Yes, I have. I've spent a lot the last 9 years. I'd say between 8 to 9 years out of Nigeria. Nigeria is in the continent of Africa, for those that don't know, in West Africa. But I've spent a lot of time in Nigeria. I've been to about 6 other countries on the continent. So I went to Ghana, South Africa, Gambia. But I just found that I fell in love with Nigeria. For me, growing up in the UK, I really didn't believe in this. This was many years ago. I didn't have a mentor or anyone that I felt looked like me doing what I wanted to do. I am of the first generation that was born in the UK. So we were always going to be the first at what we did.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, as a child, I was extremely bullied while I was at school. I was told I was ugly. I was told I would never amount to anything. I was told that I looked like a monkey. I was called a gorilla. And all of these things that they've said to you, they remain in your mindset. You know, I didn't have any. When we switched the TV on, there wasn't anything. There wasn't anyone that looked like me. Okay, fair enough. So as you grow up as a child, you have all of these derogatory thoughts about yourself. You meet other people who have the same sort of insecurities, and they act them out. So as I don't know how I've ended up in the beauty industry other than because of my accident, because as I said, it wasn't something that I had even thought about. But when I was invited to South Africa, I went to South Africa and I loved it. I met so many hierarchy people in the industry. I met with the Estee Lauder group. I met with Revlon. I met with Avon. We had discussions about how we could work together because this is where many head offices were or still are. And it was wonderful. It was an absolutely wonderful experience. But again, I was then invited to Nigeria by the British government as a pioneer to do a case study in makeup. And at that time, they'd seen how the industry was about to blow and evolve on the continent. So I went to Nigeria, and as soon as the plane landed, I sniffed the air. Personally, I felt I had found home. And when I say home, I didn't mean somewhere that I was going to buy a house and set up for good.
Right.
That was my home. I felt my spirit. I felt everything that represented me, Erica Freemantle, came alive. I found my forefathers, my generation. I found where I belong. It is something that I cannot explain. Unless you feel it, unless you've been through it, you'll never understand it. And more importantly, I saw lots of people that looked like me. Lots of people that looked like me that were in hierarchy positions that didn't have to ask for anyone's permission to do anything. They didn't have to. There was no conversations about racism. You know, there wasn't anything like that. It was you were based on what you were brought to the table, what you could bring to the table. So I felt very, very, very comfortable. I felt very at home. So and Nigeria embraced me. Within 2 years, I'd met with, Mo Abudu, who owns Ebony Life TV, who is now one of my best friends. I met with Obi Asika. I met with Genevieve Magazine. I met with so many people that embraced me, and they called me. They said the sister had come home. So, of course, when you're in that environment, you can only but excel and bring your skill set. So I have worked in many other places. I've been to the Middle East. I do a lot of work in Dubai, as I said, South Africa, Ghana, obviously London, looking to come to the States. I've done a little bit of work in the States about 15 years ago, and I'd love to come back to do some more there. But for me, you know, in life, especially when you're dealing with a lot of insecurities, you have to step back to go forward. And I found by stepping back, and when I say back, I meant going home, it has enabled me to evolve to become the woman that sat here speaking to you. There is nothing on this earth that I can't do or I can't achieve. And if you tell me that I can't, I'll show you how it's done. Now, I could never have said that a few years ago because I didn't know who I was. I wasn't comfortable in my skin. And when I say not comfortable in my skin, I love who I am, but I didn't have direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't have direction. Erica has evolved, and I am a mature woman, but with a young woman's heart and a young woman's mind. I love what I do.
That's awesome.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
It takes
some
people a while to, you know, to get to that place in their lives. So that's a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much.
You know, let me ask you, you know, you were talking about in the UK, you know, you didn't see people that looked like you. You know, of course, in Nigeria you did. Just over the years in your travels, I know you spent, you know, some time all over Africa, but can you tell us, like, what some of the differences that you've noticed between, like, you know, different areas in Africa as well as in the UK, just in the beauty industry in general? Have you noticed any major differences?
Yeah, I have. What I've noticed, let's start with the UK first. What I've noticed in the UK is that the brands now are realizing that they have to be inclusive. Okay, as Africans, you know, we make up 6 million people in the UK. The population is 60 million. But as a multi-ethnic, there are so many different races here, different skin tones, that what I've noticed in the UK, there is this, I used to be a product developer, and I still do it, and I used to get called in to help create makeup lines, different tones, understanding different textures. But what I'm noting is that a lot of brands now are actually, they're taking control and they're doing it for themselves. What I found across Africa, is that the women are taking control for themselves. There are some multi-billionaires and millionaires, women, that have learned about makeup and they're doing it for myself. There is no fear. There's a true understanding of what makeup is about and what it represents. Makeup is very powerful. As we know, it saves lives. So what I've noticed is that the world is looking at Africa and looking what's coming out of Africa, because we are obviously naturally creative people. We understand color. We're not afraid of color. And that's what I notice as well. So, yeah, it's a change, a major change in the industry across the continent.
Wow. And I feel like, you know, the rest of the world is trying to now catch up.
Definitely.
With what they're doing.
You see, unless I had gone and seen it for myself, I would only, okay, there's social media, but to know something, you have to feel it. To feel it, you have to smell it. To smell it, you have to touch it. So for me, until I went for myself, I really didn't have an understanding of the power of African women in the beauty industry and the difference that we are making for ourselves. Yes, I would have seen it in magazines and I probably would have seen it in social media, but I personally, Erica Freemantle, needed to see it and touch it and smell it and feel it for herself. And it is beyond your comprehension. And I always say to people, regardless of where you're from, it's very important for us to travel, because women globally, we all want to feel beautiful and we're all doing something about it. And it's really good by traveling, what it does, it educates you and it gives you slight understanding, I won't say full understanding, but a slight understanding of other women. Because one thing I'll say to you ladies is pain is pain is pain, regardless of your skin tone, regardless of your culture. And we know how makeup makes the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And once you've traveled and you've touched it and you've smelled it and you've gone through that whole process, how has that changed your message in beauty?
Well, I started a campaign in the UK, and it's called Embracing All Tones of Women, because, you know, sometimes you need to make a little noise, and because I've been in the industry for a while, yes, it's not, you know, it's not gone social media mad, but it's relevant in the spaces where I work with people that make the decisions, because it's all about the decision makers.
Right.
And I feel that I'm privileged to be in a position where I can interact with people at a certain level. And I let it be known that I didn't just get here sheer luck. I didn't just get here because of my accident. It's called sustainability, and it's about knowing thyself and knowing the industry. And I feel that I am the voice for all women, not just African women. Obviously, I've always been a black woman, and I'm proud, and I will always be black, and, you know, that's great. But I think there are other women of other cultures that don't have a voice. And if you are a makeup artist, and if you are a hairdresser, and you are working in the mainstream, then you should be able to, whoever sits in your chair, you should be able to do their makeup. Now, if you're someone in Nigeria and that is not your market, then that's a different argument. But if you're in the US, if you're in the UK, you know, if you are a cosmopolitan city or a country, there shouldn't be any excuse as to why you are not able to do the makeup or have the tools in your kit for someone of a different skin tone without guesstimating. And we all know what happens when
absolutely.
We guesstimate, don't we?
Yes,
you know? Yes. So I have a very strong opinion about embracing all tones of women.
You know, that's interesting that you would say that, because that's something that here in the U.S. that we face a lot, with Janice and I both working in film and television. You know, sometimes you will have makeup artists who get the head positions on these film and television projects, but yet they don't have the makeup in their kits, just their everyday kits, to accommodate a woman of color, or a darker complexion woman of color. And it disgusts me how they can get the job, but yet you don't even have the makeup. We haven't even gotten to actually applying proper foundation. Just don't even have the makeup in your kit. But yet you're the department head of this show that has people of color on the show.
That's correct.
It blows my mind.
It blows my mind, too. It's an insult. It says you don't matter.
Absolutely.
It says,
absolutely.
It says we'll compromise. It says bring your own. That's wrong. And that is why I said the business of makeup is the way forward. You have to put yourself forward as a business. We always have to portray ourselves, you know, maybe twice as good as the next person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that person doesn't deserve to be in that position. They may have the skill set, but it's an underline. In fact, it's a forward front insult to women of all skin tones. Because if
right.
you are an artist, you should have it, even if it's never used,
right.
you should have
right.
in your kit a comprehensive range of foundations just to appease the people that you're working with.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's so
yeah.
true.
Yeah. It's an insult.
It really is. It really is.
Mm.
It really is.
Now, I have a question here. From Sharon Tina Brightman in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who says that she's listening, but she can't call in because she's at work. So here is her question. She's saying, many artists are not business-minded because they are intimidated. She says, I have a degree in business because I was intimidated by it, but many artists aren't willing to put in the effort to learn the business to propel themselves. How do you motivate artists who may not see the value in learning the business initially to learn the business? How do you motivate them to learn the business?
By having conversations, like what we've just had, and letting them know what they're missing out on. You know, you can't drag a horse to water. People have to want to go there. And if, without, like any form of education, without it, you can be stuck in a rut and you'll stay at the same level. I would say really simple, basic business course. It doesn't have to be complicated, because if you haven't got it and you don't know it, align yourself to people that have. And that's why I keep saying align yourself, create partnerships to people that have. As long as you have a good lawyer and you have a good contract, work with people that, you know, that can enable you for your brand to grow and go to the next level. Or you will stay where you are in 20 years' time. You'll still be there with your brushes and wondering why Tom, Dick, Harry and Charlene has surpassed you, and they're not as good as you as artists, because they've got the skill sets, the business and business requirements to enable themselves to go to the next level. So if they lack motivation, then that means they lack ambition, as far as I'm concerned, because you have to achieve in life, you have to have that ambition to take yourself to the next level. So you can be the greatest artist in the world, but you will always be remembered as the greatest artist while other people surpass. And it's hard. It's like anything else. It's hard, but it's there to be done. And it doesn't. You don't have to get a degree. Just basic business understanding. And don't deny yourself that. It's out there. And this is why we are about to launch our business courses online for the creative industry, especially makeup artists.
Now, your courses, your online courses, they're gonna they're all business courses focused on the makeup arts, correct?
Yes, they're not all business courses. Some of them business courses, but some of them are courses aimed at professional makeup artists who want to upskill themselves in the industry. So you may be a bridal makeup artist, that might be your specialist area, but we will show you how to upskill and upscale your services in that industry. But they're also business, that some part of it is business orientated. So we know that not lots of people like to jump into business. It can be a little bit hard, a little bit distracting from what they're doing. So we've created some soft courses for soft skills with people that want to emerge themselves into the business area of the makeup artistry world.
Gotcha. What do you think about diversity in the beauty industry, just in general?
Imperative. It's imperative. I mean, it's going back to the same conversation that we had about the makeup kit not reflecting who you are. Even your language, even understanding people, embracing, educating, you know, branching out, talking to different people, diversity, whether it be, you know, understanding why people are in a different area, why people live in a certain parts, why different people eat certain things. You know, what I say to people, makeup is very, very personal, extremely personal. We get very close up and personal. You guys know, as a makeup artist, we are the psychiatrists. We are the doctors. We are the counselors. You know, we are the confidants. We are the best friends. And sometimes we get asked things from people from different backgrounds. And you can't always put your own personal opinion across. I don't think it's right to get involved with someone on a personal level. However, I think it's very important to understand and give a listening ear to people of different races, different cultures, different sexes. So diversity in the industry is very important, it's very prevalent, but you just have to know what it is and what to do with it.
Right. What do you think about where we are now in the beauty industry, and where do you think we're going as a whole?
Wow. As I said, I believe within the next 5 years, and it's happening already, children will become multimillionaire, successful artists in the industry. The industry has become open, very open. And some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. Because I'm an educator, I'm a trainer, and I believe that you should have the professional skills I'm old-fashioned. I might be wrong. To be a makeup artist, even if it's the basic skills, it's like a lawyer or a doctor. Would you like to work with a doctor or a lawyer that hasn't got any qualifications or hasn't had any training? No, you wouldn't. But I feel that the industry has become very open, but there is, I think the more you know, the further you go, the more you learn, the more knowledge that you have, the more the offering will be. But I said social media is the way forward. And again, social media has been around, what, 15, 18 years? Say up
yeah.
to 20 years. You know, the internet started when I talk about social media. I don't mean, you know, the various different platforms. And
right.
I just feel
right.
moving forward, that is the way forward. Because there's a huge market. There are, I'm giving away a little bit of my IP here and my intellectual property. But I don't mind. There are a couple of markets that are not being catered for. And one of them is the older woman. So as much as all of us are out there doing our work, there's a 50-plus market that's not being tapped into. And she tends to have the most disposable income. And what I've noticed is that it's a huge gap. And I'm saying that because obviously me on my own, I can't cater for every 50-plus year old on in the industry. But you've got to look outside the box. I think everybody tends to be chasing the same market, doing the same thing, creating the same looks,
right.
mirroring other people's definition of makeup. Makeup is about enhancing and empowering and listening to the needs of the individual. And where I think a lot of people get it wrong is that they emulate, they copy looks that other people have created, and they sit down with an individual and they put that look on that person's face without asking them if that's what they want. And I personally believe that the makeup should reflect who you are, where you are at that particular moment in time. So there's a huge gap in the industry about to evolve, and there's enough out there for everybody. There is enough out there for everybody. Should I say that again? There's enough out
yeah.
there for everybody.
Say it again, Erica. Say it again.
There's enough out there for everybody.
Now, speaking of the industry, speaking of your thoughts on the industry, what do you think about, and I know it's been a while since you've been here, but what do you think about the beauty industry over here in the U.S.?
You know, I haven't been to the U.S., working in the U.S. I've been on holiday for about 10 years, which is a long time. But I've seen so many changes. I've seen so many things evolve. I've seen so many artists evolve in the space. I think the world respects the U.S. and what's coming out of America and what's happening in America. But I also think that the American artists have got so much to offer that I really believe the artist should travel a lot more, because I feel there's a lot that can be offered. You're respected across the world, and I believe that you should continent hop, and you should let people see what you are bringing to the market or what you bring to the space. And I don't just mean Instagram. Yes, we can do Instagram. We can do online training and all of that. But I think, again, this has got a lot to do with diversity and culture and, you know, just becoming one. But I think America leads in lots of different areas when it comes to makeup, lots of areas. The world looks at America.
Well, I don't know about any other artists, but I know that the two of us plan on doing just that.
Well, good. Will Nats come to the UK or travel the world?
Yep. We'll be back in the UK this year, and we were planning to travel the world.
Excellent. It's the only way to do it. You know, there are opportunities out there. Unless you leave your comfort zone, they will not come to you. Or they may come to you, but they'll be very limited.
Absolutely, I believe that.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
True.
Well, I hope we'll be working together.
Absolutely, that's the plan.
We have to make that happen.
We have to make it happen.
Well, you know.
Definitely.
That's right. Now, I know that you know, you speak around the world and you're
yes.
speaking and you're educating artists. But is
yes.
there anything
yes.
else that you haven't done in the beauty industry that you would like to do besides the things that you're planning and that you're currently doing?
Okay. I haven't created my own makeup line for lots of reasons, because I do product development. I've been a spokesperson. You know, I've been ambassador for quite a few brands. And I think that's something that I would like to do in the near future. It's not something I'm rushing to do, but it's something that I'd like to do. I'd also like to represent the older woman, because I believe as I'm getting older, I'm falling in love with myself even more. I'm falling in love with my journey. Yeah, so I'd like to continue and evolve in the space for older women, 50-plus, to be an ambassador. I am helping and supporting and being a mentor to many up-and-coming. I'd like to continue doing that. But I'd like to say that I'm very fortunate to have done a lot of the things. I've been a presenter on TV. I've had my own TV show, or been a guest presenter. I'd like to do a little bit more of that. I'd love to do that in the States. That's one of the things I'd love to do in America. As an English Jamaican that's been to Africa, I'd love to do that in the States. Because, again, that is my USP. There's a lot that I know, and I know there's a lot I can bring to any given platform. But I think I'm okay. I think... You know, God has a plan, I'm pursuing it, and I'm very fortunate to say that I have done a lot of the things that I would love to do. One thing I would like to do is sit down and have a one-to-one with Iman. I've been following her career 30, 35 years. I used to look at her in the magazines, and I thought, and I still think, sensationally, utterly beautiful. But I also feel that I'm on my way to meeting her. I'm believing that it's something that will happen soon, because I'm going to make it happen. I am going to make it happen. You know, I've met... Sorry?
I was going to say, if you sit down with her, what would you say?
Well done. Very well done for being a pioneer with sustainability, being there, doing what you're doing. Teaching, educating, leading women across the world, even if it wasn't your initial plan, and sticking at what you do and remaining utterly gorgeous. And when I say gorgeous, I'm not necessarily talking about the aesthetics. I'm just gorgeous to business.
Right.
That's what I would like to sit with her and say. For me, Iman was the first person in the industry, because she did modeling first, as far as I could remember, then she went into makeup. So she's someone that I remember first, even before the Oprahs of this world. Her, Beverly Johnson, Naomi Sims, you know, I remember falling in love with her many, 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 many years ago. And again, you can hear the names that I'm calling. As a British person, there was no one in the industry for me to call.
Right.
His name I can call now, you know,
right,
30-odd years ago, that I can remember anyway.
Right.
But yes, that's my ultimate dream, is to meet Iman and to meet up with Pat again. I haven't seen Pat McGrath for many, many years. We used to see each other quite a lot in London when we were doing, you know, our test and our back in the day. And I'm very proud of what she's become in the industry.
Nice.
Now, speaking of Iman, she's a businesswoman as well.
She is.
What do you think about all that she's done in business?
Phenomenal. She's done it all. I think she has done what a lot of makeup artists would like to do, especially owners of makeup lines. You know, and remember, she's done it pre-Instagram.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pre-social media. So people need to remember that there was a life before social media.
Absolutely.
That's very important.
And then just think about this. Think about Fashion Fair and what all, you know, all that they've done and they've built and that they're still doing. And that was all done before the Internet.
Right. Let me tell you about Fashion Fair. I had the privilege of meeting with Fashion Fair. Is it Denise? Oh, I've forgotten her name. I'm so sorry. Of Fashion Fair 3 years ago in Nigeria. She came over for a conference that I happened to be at, I was speaking at. And I met her. But Fashion Fair has been in the UK, I think it's 33, 34 years, but I know it's been in the US 10 years before. Fashion Fair saved my life as a makeup brand because I hadn't known about Fashion Fair at the time of my accident. And by doing a little bit of research, by talking to people on the telephone, because there was no internet, there was no social media, someone told me about Fashion Fair that was in a store. And I went to the counter and I found, at the time, the Perfect Finish makeup line. And for me, that Perfect Finish compact foundation gave me a perfect finish. So we can't knock the brands that have been around and open the door for many of
right.
you know, many lines that are up and coming now. I admire their sustainability. I love their products. I've seen that they've changed their makeup recently because you have to. You have to evolve. You have to change with the times. But the product does what it says on the tin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually like their makeup line.
Yes, it's still around. It's still in the stores.
What do you think, Erica, about the I'm lost for words. The options, that's the word I was looking for. What do you think about the options that are out there now today for women of color in cosmetics?
In regards to makeup, yeah. I'm happy. I would like to be happier, but I'm happy. But you know something, and I need to be really honest. There's a lot of complaints, or there has been complaints from women of color about mainstream brands not catering for us. And I really do understand that way of thinking. But my other argument to that is, people, and create your own. There's a thing called ownership, and there's nothing greater in this world than creating your own. And I've seen lots of people doing it now. So I think the industry has evolved. Very much so. I see Bobbi Brown, you know, I see so many that are catering for women of color, and not just to a certain tone, to a mid-brown, and then it's, oh, forget the rest of you. You know, we come in so many different shades, so many different tones. One of the arguments that I've heard with a lot of makeup lines in the mainstream, why they don't cater for, you know, the darker skinned woman, is that they said it's very expensive. But I think it's more insulting to do three, light, medium, and dark, you know, because what does dark mean? What does that represent? For me, if you're going to do a dark, do a very, very dark one, and then at least if an individual has to mix, then so be it. From a professional and from a business point of view, you're selling two products, because if the individual mm-hmm. likes the product but it's a little bit too dark, she can always mix it with another, and the same for a makeup artist. But when you stop it at a certain shade, to me, again, it says you are irrelevant. And I've said this many, many, many a time. I'm speaking at Professional Beauty in 4 weeks' time in London, and I'm talking about tips and hints for women of color to my mainstream counterparts, and I'm letting them know that they're missing out on a huge market, potential market, simply because of fear, because of ignorance, because of lack of knowledge. And it's a market, we're not going anywhere, so we may as well all be able to cater for each other. You know, one of the things that you learn in the UK when you go to a college or training or an institution, you learn to do hair on Caucasians as well as, you know, African textured hair. So we,
right.
as African women, always learn about Caucasian hair type, European hair type, and skin. But there are many courses that don't cater, there are many professionals that don't know how to cater for skin tones and hair types that are not their own. And this is something that I would like to change. I think it's something we would all like to change, and we have to do that
mm-hmm.
together, collectively.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so important. But I love the fact that you use business. It's like in everything that you say and in everything that you do, it all falls back to business and needing to be a business person, not just an artist, you know.
Yes.
Not just, you know, selling a product at the counter, but knowing business and how everything relates to business. I think that's awesome, and I think it's so important.
It is, you know, because we, you know, we've all been in makeup for a little while, and we've all seen people, brilliant artists, but fall by the wayside because they didn't know how to have the sustainability, the consistency in the industry. A lot of people do work and do it for nothing and don't get paid. Okay, you can do that occasionally when you're starting out in your career, but you can't be in your career for, you know, 10, 5, 15 years and not getting paid. That's an insult. And you have to know how to submit your invoices and follow up and make demands, and if you have to go to your solicitor to get lawyer letters out, but you need to understand business. You need to understand cash flow, profit and loss, and you need to understand partnerships.
That's right.
It's very, very important. It's very, very, if you want to be taken seriously in this industry, learn and keep learning. You can do as many eyebrows as you like, but it's not going to pay the bills.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
It won't pay
absolutely
the bills. And don't be afraid to be expensive. And what I call expensive is if someone is charging $15, £15, but you want to charge $25, just make sure that you can back up why it's $25 as opposed to $15. But don't be afraid to know your worth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so important.
So important.
So important. I think a lot of artists miss out on that.
Very much so.
Most people are afraid that they will lose the job if they are too expensive.
Yes. But, you know, if something wasn't yours to begin with, then let it
go.
That's
right.
You have to step up. You have to make yourself unique, and you have to let people buy into your concept and your brand. And that's all about marketing. That's all about presentation, and it's all about buying in. And what is all of that? Business.
Absolutely.
If you're the same as everyone else, you're going to keep getting the same result.
What would be your advice to someone new coming into the beauty business, particularly a makeup artist?
I would say make sure when you invest your money, if you're doing a training course, you do a course that caters for every skin tone. Have an understanding. Don't just learn about the aesthetics of makeup. Understand, try and learn about different cultures, different food that people eat and the reaction that food can have on the skin. I'd also make sure that whatever course you do, you learn about management, you learn a little bit about psychology, you learn a bit about intimacy, and you learn a lot about personal skills. Also make sure that there is a fundamental business aspect to the makeup artistry course, because that's the way forward for the industry.
Nice. I love it. And so
Thank you. Tell
us a little bit more about your classes and what you're doing at Professional Beauty for those who are listening and want to attend.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's in London. It's on the 27th of February in London, a place called Excel. It's huge. I think usually there's about 60,000, if I'm correct, people over the 2 days. So I have a seminar room in which I'll be educating, the only person educating mainstream on the needs for women of color, something that I do and I'm proud to do every year. Each year we change the theme. This year it's about the needs for women of color on a photo shoot. One of those is make sure that you have the right and various different tones in your kit. And if you haven't, go and get samples from different brands. It's very important because it's very undermining. So I do that. I love doing that. And as I said, that's between 11 a.m. and 11:50 on the 27th, which is a Monday in London. Professional Beauty, I think it's www.professionalbeauty.co.uk. It's £5 for the ticket, but it's booking only. It's going to be the place to be. We're going to be working alongside a makeup brand. I'm sure you've heard of Urban Decay, who are one of the ranges that I've fallen in love with because their range is so comprehensive and they do cater for all skin tones. So, yeah, I love Urban Decay because of their message and what they're about. But what I also find with makeup brand that sends out the message like Urban Decay, usually they're created by makeup artists, just like Bobbi Brown. They get it. They understand women of all skin tones. But there are many that feel that they should cater for darker or women of any, you know, darker skin tone, which, as you quite rightly said, is quite insulting. So, yeah, so what we do at the Professional Beauty is we come together and we just talk. We're honest. We speak as art from one artist to the other. There's no one in there, as far as I'm concerned, who's superior to the other. We have fun. We have a laugh for the hour that we spend together. And we network. Networking is very, very important in our industry. We're as good as the last job. So it's important that you, I believe, move and meet movers and shakers in the industry that can make a difference. And that comes from being and putting yourself in the right space. Because anything can happen when you network, and you network well. And that's another thing that we at Erica Fremantle will be teaching people, is how to network well and bring out the best in yourself in any given situation. If you have 3 minutes to sell yourself as a makeup artist, forget what you can create, forget who you last worked with. It's about the business and what you can do in any given environment. And I know people find this very hard to understand and digest, but it's the way forward. And as I said at the beginning of the conversation, is that it's about being direct, it's about being honest, and it's being transparent. But that's the way the industry is going. We have to be networkers. We have to be business women. We have to be entrepreneurs. We have to be to survive.
That's right.
That's so true.
It's the direction everything is going.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right. And when can we find your classes online?
Well, we're going through, even myself, I mean, I make it sound so easy and I make myself sound so confident, but we are going through a transition. We're going through a transition ourselves. And once we go live with our online courses, I will let you know, and hopefully you can announce it to your listeners.
Oh, definitely.
But it's imminent. It's
absolutely
very, very soon. But initially we're starting off with business courses, what you can bring to the table in any given situation as a makeup artist, because you've already got the skills as a makeup artist. So now the next thing is,
right,
how do I upscale on my skills in any given situation? You know, how do I improve? How do I get there? How do I become the next Iman? How do I become the next Pat McGrath? The next Bobbi Brown?
Nice.
I should say, and Erica Fremantle, too.
And Erica Fremantle.
Right.
Yes, definitely.
That is so true.
It's all about business. It's all about business.
Yes, we'll look out. We'll keep our eyes open for that, and we'll definitely make announcements for the Professional Beauty Show. I have the time. You're speaking from 11 to 11:50 a.m., right?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
So I'll make sure we announce that again next Sunday.
Definitely. And I would, you know, like we were talking about the competition and the book, I would love for someone to call in, even if it's after the show, to claim their book.
Yes. Yeah, so after the show, if you tweet us at beauty_talk and just tweet, and just tweet us about the, you can just use the hashtag hashtag beauty talk, and then we will make sure you get your copy of the book.
I think that's fantastic. I think that's absolutely fantastic. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity, and I like to say thank you to your listeners for listening in.
Thank you so much,
so
Erica.
Welcome.
We really appreciate you being on, and I'm so glad that you know, we could get you on. It's kind of hard, you know, with the time difference, but I'm glad we were able to bring you on. So we appreciate it. We thank you for taking out your time. This is just the beginning of
yes, it is.
What we what we're going to do, and so I'm excited about it. And
yes, it is. It's
I'm
very
just happy
much
to
the
be
beginning. Yeah, it's very much the beginning. There are lots that can be done. And, you know, I think women that work together are the smartest of women. So let's together endeavor to make that difference, to make that change collectively and help and support our fellow artists. It's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think, you know, the a lot of what we talked about today, education and business, I think that's the key for artists,
yes,
existing artists and up-and-coming artists as well.
Yes,
education,
yes, definitely.
And
education,
Erica, we have,
education
and, so,
and education.
We have
this
we have this one, we have this one last question that we like to ask as you slowly slide away off into your own personal space.
Yes.
And that question is, what is your definition of beauty?
Wow. My definition of beauty is looking back at yourself in the mirror and embracing who and what you are, whatever that may be. And the day that happens, that's the day that it's a beautiful world. You know, too many people are caught up in the aesthetics of beauty, including myself many, many years ago. Now, I have got to that stage in my life where I look in the mirror and I say, well done. And I think that is my definition of beauty. I don't need anybody else's approval. I don't ask anybody else for permission to like me and embrace me. So like yourself if and when you can. It's a journey. And there is stuff that happens in our life and we allow people to take that away from us. But once you get there, it's the most wonderful, it's the most pleasing, it's the most caressing thing that you can ever do is beautify and love yourself. That's my definition of beauty.
Wonderful.
I love
That's
it.
Beautiful.
Thank
I
you
love
so
it.
Much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank
you. Yes. Thank you so much, Erica, for joining us today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you in London.
Yes, you'll see
Absolutely.
Us in London. I'll let you know when that's going to be.
Definitely.
In a few months.
Definitely. Definitely, my darlings. Oh, thank you for having me.
You're
Absolutely,
so welcome.
Erica,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye,
okay,
listeners.
Bye-bye.
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 It's a lot you can take from this particular conversation. I really enjoyed it. Loved her definition of beauty as well. We'll be right back.
Has your face felt dry and tight, or does it hold oils like a sponge? If the answer is yes, what you need is a facial. That's right, and not just any facial, but a FaceTox Organic Facial. Listen, the FaceTox Organic Blend, it's free of parabens, it's vegan, and mixed with 100% organic rose water. And this water binds your face and works right away as it slowly begins to dry. You see, when the organic rose is mixed with the FaceTox Blend, it creates a negative charge and will prevent and even draw out your blackheads, reduce the appearance of scars, even skin tone, draw out external toxins, heal and rejuvenate skin tissue, and it will even unclog and shrink your pores. FaceTox is probably the most powerful face mask you will ever use because the benefits to your skin are endless. Listeners of our show can receive a 20% discount by simply using the discount code BEAUTY20. FaceTox organic face masks are perfect for all skin types. So what are you waiting for? Order yours right now at FaceTox.com. Your skin will thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation today with Erica, and just stay tuned for more from Erica, more from us, and more from the three of us together. We want to take out individual and collective messages of beauty around the world, and so we want to have something coming very soon. Education is key. You know, and being business-minded, learning business, implementing business in what we do as artists is key. And that's just something that we're going to have to, as artists, learn and work on because it's going to be so important. And just like she was saying, you know, social media, you're going to have to do it because, you know, that's what this industry, that's where this, everything's going, and you don't want to be left behind. You have to start, and you have to start now. And so it's just, it's key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited. I can't wait to finally meet Erica in person and you know, just to further our message, our messages of beauty to every woman and, you know, and to further the education of artists around the globe.
Yes, absolutely. So share where everyone can find us on social media.
You can find us on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio. You can tweet us on Twitter. We are beauty_talk. And you can find us on Instagram. We are beauty_talk_media. And please be sure to reach out to us on either of those platforms. And, again, just use the hashtag Beauty Talk, and you can use at Erica Freemantle in the message, and we will get you out your copy of Erica's book, which is Erica's Beauty Journey. It's an e-book, and we could send you a copy of that e-book. So please go out to our social media pages and hit us up. Just leave a message with hashtag Beauty Talk and Erica Freemantle.
All right. So thank you guys very much. We are on earlier. We will put out messages with the link for today's show, and also we'll try to put it up online at during the 9 o'clock hour, so that if you tune in to Beauty Talk, this show will play again as well. So as always, thank you guys for your support. Have a great afternoon, and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, or good afternoon.